National Broadcasting Company present, transcribed, Sir Ralph Richardson, your host in Theatre Royal.
This is Ralph Richardson. From time to time in this series, I shall be introducing as my guests some of my friends from the theater. Today, my invitation has been accepted by an actor whom I admire for many reasons, including the fact that he always makes me laugh. Theatergoers in many lands will know him through his performance in his own play, Edward, My Son, and by many other fine performances, both on the screen and on the stage. I refer, of course, to Robert Morley. But he's chosen an adaptation of a play by Jules Romain, Dr. Canock. Here, then, is Robert Morley as Dr. Canock.
I am a sincere believer in the cause of medical science, and in the district where I have recently begun to practice, I think that I may claim that I have done more towards the instilling of a proper respect for medical science than most of my professional colleagues, certainly more than my predecessor, Dr. Parpelet. I well remember our first meeting just 3 short months ago. It was my first visit to the district, one of the most picturesque of France's mountain arrondissements. I had completed the purchase by correspondence of Dr. Parpelet's practice, and I had finally arrived to take it over from him.
Well, well, the king is dead. Long live the king. Yes, my dear sir, from this moment. And I congratulate you. From this very moment, my practice is yours. If a patient calls before we leave, calls to consult me, my answer will be, no, my good friend, no. Here is your doctor now, Dr. Knock. I won't open my mouth again. Professionally, unless you should do me the honor to call me into consultation.
I should be most honored to do so in view of your local experience.
You're very lucky, I might say, in finding a fellow like me ready to tempt fortune once again.
Yes, indeed. Dr. Parpelet always promised himself that when he retired, it should be from a town practice. That's why he brought himself to leave the district at all, when he might have gone on making a fortune here.
Yes, you're in luck, you know. A wonderful practice, this. A settled connection. All to yourself.
Not another doctor near.
A chemist who sticks to his job.
And a town you can't spend money in if you try.
No costly amusement.
Why, in 6 months' time, you'll have saved what the practice has cost you twice over.
The air here is very bracing. You can feel it. If you're a weakly child, you die in the first 6 months, before the doctor has time to do much for you. If you survive the first 6 months, well, you take a lot of killing. Apoplexies, bad hearts, oh, yes. People who are certain there's nothing the matter with them just fall down dead when they're 50.
But you've not made your fortune by writing death certificates.
No, of course not. Well, there's always influenza. Not the common influenza, of course. They rather like a touch of that now and again. They think a good septic cold once a year keeps them from catching all sorts of other things. No, I mean the big, worldwide epidemics.
But if I have to wait for a worldwide epidemic...
I've seen two. One in 1889 and the last one in 1918.
You did fairly well out of them?
Oh, yes. Michaelmas 1919. The books look very well indeed.
Michaelmas 1919?
Yes, you see, the people here only pay their bills every Michaelmas, every 29th of September.
And today is October the 3rd. What a good time to choose for parting with one's practice. But if they come to your dispensary, of course, they pay on the nail.
No, at Michaelmas, that's the custom.
But if they only come once, you're never going to see them again.
They pay at Michaelmas.
Most of them, of course, only do come once.
Really? Well, what about the regular patients?
Regular patients?
Well, the ones that you see two or three times a week, or, well, at least two or three times a month.
My dear, do you hear that? Patients who come calling like the butcher and the baker. My dear Dr. Knock, when you've had a little more experience...
No, believe me, you'll find this the very best type of practice. It leaves you so free.
Evidently. I should have brought my fishing rod. Well, the situation is now crystal clear. My dear Dr. Parpelet, you have sold me for some 400,000 francs, which I still owe you, a practice which is worth about 40.
Oh, but
no,
my dear...
No, don't apologize. I'm not grumbling.
But haven't you any money of your own?
Not a penny. I live on what I earn. The sooner I get started, the better. As a matter of fact, I have a few ideas about improving this practice. There are just a few details you might help me with now. Now then, has St. Maurice got a town crier?
Yes, he cries for lost dogs and sales of old furniture.
Good. Now then, what's the population?
3,500, perhaps. 6,000 if you count the two villages beyond. Twice that in the whole district.
Poor people mostly?
Not all of them. Some of them are quite well off, but stingy.
Are the women religious? No, no, please. Please, this is a very important point.
They go to church.
But do they think about God a lot?
Oh, dear me, no.
Good. Now, how about vice? Drug-taking, blasphemy, political aberrations?
I fail to see. Drug-taking? No, hardly any. Politics? The usual thing.
Much adultery? Would you say that conjugal infidelity was more epidemic or endemic? Huh? And in which category does it prevail?
You really do ask the most amazing question. There's no more here than elsewhere.
Bless. What chance have they? The way people spy on you.
Good. Now, you've nothing else to tell me? No queer religions, superstitions, orders of druids and things like that? No old herb women? No white witches?
No, nothing like that.
Good. Then the reign of medical science can begin. I am strongly convinced that Samaris offers more opportunities than you think. You, sir, should be leaving here with your pockets full of gold, and you, madam, with three rows of pearls round your neck, in an expensive limousine.
Oh, well, we shall see. I shall be back in 3 months for my first installment.
Obviously, there was no time to be lost. And before any results could be expected, there were one or two alliances to be formed. I began to make them forthwith. So you are the town crier?
Yes, Mr. Knock.
Dr. Knock, when I speak to you, please answer yes, doctor, or no, doctor. And when you talk of me, say the doctor did this, or the doctor said so-and-so. It's a thing I'm most particular about.
Yes, doctor.
Now then, what did you make of my predecessor here, Dr. Parpelet?
Not much, I didn't. Some did. But you'd come here to see him, and 9 times out of 10 he'd say, be off with you. There's nothing wrong with you. You'll be all right tomorrow, he'd say.
Really?
Yeah. Or he'd tell you to take some tuppenny remedy. Drink a glass of hot water first thing in the morning, or a cup of chamomile tea when you went to bed. Now, when a man pays 8 francs for his doctor, he does like his physic to cost something.
Well, naturally. I'm sorry to hear that. What did you charge Dr. Papley when he employed you professionally?
We never did. Not in 30 years.
Well, things are going to be different now. Are you free this morning? Good. Now then, this is what I want you to cry for me. Can you read my writing? It says, Dr. Knock, who has taken over Dr. Papley's practice, presents his compliments to the inhabitants of Samaris, and begs to inform them that in the public interest, and with the hope of checking the alarming increase of those diseases which are now spreading through this once healthy district, he will give from 9:30 to 11 every Monday morning free consultation and advice. To strangers, the cost will be 8 francs, as usual.
Oh, that's a great scheme. They'll think a lot of that. In the public interest. And today's Monday, and it's market day. There's a lot of country folk coming to town. Why, when they've heard me cry that, you won't have room for them all.
I'll manage. The public health must be safeguarded. Nothing is more important. I can see that you're a man of sense and public spirit yourself. I rely on you. While you're here, perhaps I'd better have a look at you, too. Now then, there is something, isn't there?
When I've had my dinner, I sometimes get a sort of a feeling. Sort of here.
Show me the exact spot. There? Or there? Quite so, between the two. Where my finger is now? Hurts you when I press it? So?
Yes, it sort of hurts.
Ah. Do you feel it more than usual after you've been eating venison? You do, don't you?
I don't eat venison, but if I did, I believe I would.
Ah, now we're getting at it. That's most important. How old are you?
51. 52 next year.
52 next year. Well, my friend. Well, well. You can work today as usual. That won't hurt you. But go to bed early. Tomorrow, stop in bed. I'll come and see you. I shan't charge you anything, but don't go telling people that, mind.
Oh, thank you, Doctor. Thank you. But is it something serious?
No, no, no. We won't call it serious. Yet. We're taking it in time. Just in time. As you'll be working today, you can take a little soup. Tomorrow, we'll see what we can really cut you off. Till then, good luck. But, my dear sir, as a schoolmaster of this town, you really ought to face up to your responsibilities, teaching people here the laws of health, setting up the right standards of household hygiene, of good heavens, the 101 things a doctor and a schoolmaster can only do if they do them together.
But Dr. Papillet never told me, Dr. Nock, never once suggested...
Good heavens, to think of these wretched people left to their own devices, hygienically, prophylactically.
Oh, they certainly are.
I'll wager they drink the water here and never give a thought to the billions of bacteria in every mouthful.
No, I'm sure they don't.
Do you suppose they even know what a microbe is?
I doubt it. Some of them may have heard the word, but I expect they think it's a sort of fly.
Terrible, terrible. Well, my dear Monsieur Bernard, it'll naturally take a little time now to destroy this fool's paradise, but we must do our best, you and I. We must do our best.
Oh, I'm quite willing. I only fear I shan't be of much help.
Monsieur Bernard, somebody who knows you very well tells me that you have one serious fault. You are too modest.
Oh, Doctor, no.
This is no time for modesty. A man of your talents, outstanding, I'm told, cannot evade his responsibilities any longer. Lectures, Monsieur Bernard, classes in hygiene, an intensive course in elementary hygiene. The public health demands it of you. Can you stand there and watch people die? Monsieur Mousquet, pray sit down.
Thank you.
You're the town chemist,
uh-huh.
A position of unusual trust. I found time yesterday to give one glance round your establishment.
Oh.
One glance showed me how excellently it was equipped and how admirably you manage it.
Oh, doctor, you're too kind.
No. A physician, these things concern me very closely. A doctor who hasn't got a first-class pharmaceutical chemist to depend on is like a general fighting a battle without guns.
I'm glad you give my profession its due.
Still, such a high standard of service as you provide, of course, brings its own reward as well. You can't make less than a million francs a year.
A profit? My dear doctor, I wish I made half that.
But that's absolute nonsense. You've no competitors?
Oh, no, not one for 10 miles or more.
It's almost unbelievable. Was my predecessor not quite up to his work between ourselves?
Oh, Dr. Papillet was a most worthy man. We couldn't have got on better, but...
But if you bound up his prescriptions at the year's end, they wouldn't have made a very big book, I suppose.
You've hit it.
And yet, as you know yourself, every single soul in Saint-Maurice is ipso facto a potential patient.
Of course, they have to fall ill first.
Fall ill? That is a phrase, Monsieur Mousquet, that modern science has rendered meaningless.
Oh?
Health is a mere word. I only see around me people suffering more or less acutely from diseases more or less serious, which more or less rapidly get the better of them.
Uh-huh.
Oh, of course, if you go on telling them that they're quite well, they're glad enough to believe you. But your only excuse for doing so would be if you had so many patients on your hand already, you couldn't attend to any more.
That sounds a very interesting theory.
It's simply the modern scientific view of the matter. Think it over. We compel every citizen to defend his country on the very same principle. We should force him, whether he likes it or not, to fight against disease.
Quite.
My dear Monsieur Mousquet, our calling, yours and mine, ranks second to none in the world. How shameful that it should sink bit by bit from the high place of prosperity and influence to which our predecessors, the best of them, have raised it. Would not that be a sort of treason?
In a moment, we continue Theatre Royal with your host, Sir Ralph Richardson.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all week long, there's something entertaining for you on NBC. Mondays mean music, with a parade of programs ranging from light melodic drama to operatic selections. Then, for a session of super sleuthing, tune in Tuesdays. You'll share adventures with Barry Craig, confidential investigator, and take part in another true story of your police force in action on Dragnet. While later, Dane Clark brings excitement on Crime and Peter Chambers. And what about Wednesdays? Variety is in order for your midweek enjoyment, quizzing on Walk a Mile and Groucho Marx's You Bet Your Life. The Great Gildersleeve supplies comedy, while Big Story brings you the facts behind one reporter's headline feature. For adventurous doings in adventurous settings, Thursdays take you to the West with Roy Rogers and later James Stewart on Six Shooter. Then to the waterfront area of New Orleans for a voyage with Jason and the Golden Fleece. And Friday is sheer fun in the company of Bob Hope, Phil Harris and Alice Faye, and all the storytellers on Can You Top This? So stay with us all week, won't you, on NBC.
We now continue Theatre Royal with your host, Sir Ralph Richardson.
It was a matter of some pride to me the way in which I was able to extend my practice those first 2 months, and I can quite truthfully say that the number of patients who placed themselves in my hand was the clearest possible proof of their implicit belief in the efficacy of medical science.
Yes, we come from the big farm on the road to Lucia, me and my husband.
A farm like that now must mean a lot of work.
Oh, it does. 18 cows, the bull, the fat stock. There's a mare in foal, and we've got goats and pigs on the poultry.
And no one to help you?
Oh, why, of course. 3 men and a girl in the house, and more for the hay and the harvest.
So many, But it doesn't leave you much time to look after yourself. And you feel ill.
No, not ill, exactly, but I get blown.
Blown? Oh, yes, of course, blown. Show me your tongue. Oh, dear. Not much appetite?
No, not really.
Bend over, will you please? Breathe. Breathe. Cough. Cough again. Did you ever fall off a ladder when you were young?
I don't remember.
Ever feel a pain here at night when you're getting into bed? A sort of cramp?
Yes, sometimes.
Of course, you realize what's wrong with you.
No.
Well, that's just as well, perhaps, now. You want to be cured, or you don't want to be cured?
Oh, but I do.
Let me warn you at once, this will be a very long and a very costly business.
Oh, my gracious. Why will it?
Because a trouble that's been going on for 40 years can't be cured in 5 minutes.
40 years?
Ever since you fell off that ladder.
Oh.
It must have been quite a big ladder, placed against a wall. And you fell backwards. Plump. Oh. That's where it caught you. On the left one, luckily.
But what's it going to cost me?
What's a yearling calf worth now, and a pig for killing? 2 of them.
300,000 francs. Oh, what a thing to happen to me.
Would you sooner try Lourdes? I say nothing against it.
Oh, that costs a lot, too, and it's never sure. How can I have got all that the matter with me?
I can show you in a moment on the blackboard. Now then, here's your spinal column in sections, very roughly, of course.
Mm.
This is your Turk's fasciculum, and this is your Clark's column. Can you follow me?
Yes.
Now then, when you fell off that ladder, your Turk and your clerk slipped, side-slipped, like that.
Oh,
only the 50th of an inch. Not much, is it? No, you're quite right. But look at them. What a position. The result is a constant and severe strain upon the multipolaries.
Oh, think of that now. Oh, just think of that.
Oh, don't imagine that you're going to die of it today or tomorrow. No, we can take our time.
Yes, Doctor, you may well be surprised to see me.
A little surprised?
Oh, when a Madame Pan, that is a Mademoiselle L'Empouma that was, comes with all the rest of free treatment, it is rather astonishing, isn't it?
But the greater the compliment, madam, and I am conscious of it.
Our family, of course, goes back to the 13th century, but I won't pretend that my income's what it was. Only last year I had to sell a 300-acre estate of ours, La Michouille. I still wonder whether I did right.
It depends what you invested the money in, madam.
I bought oil shares, Doctor. What do you think of oil?
One of the most useful of minerals. Ah. As an investment, speculative, rather. Apt to rise a little and then fall a lot for no very apparent reason.
Oh, you make me go cold all over. Oh, you don't know what the worry, the managing of a few little pennies is to me. But you're wondering, perhaps, what I've come for. Lining up with all my tenants for a free visit.
Whatever your reasons, madam, I know they were good ones.
It's just that I've heard such good reports of the perfectly splendid work you've been doing since you came into the district. And I thought to myself, I know what the people round here are. They'll none of them go near him, and that's all the thanks he'll get. But then I said to myself, if they see that a Madame Pan, a Mademoiselle L'Empouma that was, is not ashamed to pay a free visit to the doctor, why, neither will they be. The least thing I do is remarked upon quite naturally.
A most praiseworthy step to take, madam, and I thank you for it.
While I'm here, there is one little thing. What with my tenants and my investments, I worry so much. There are whole nights, I do assure you, when I simply can't sleep. It's most exhausting. I suppose you don't know a cure for sleeplessness.
Have you suffered from insomnia long? Did you ever consult Dr. Parpolet about it?
Oh, Dr. Parpolet. He told me to buy a volume of law reports and read 6 pages every night in bed.
He may have been wrong. I have known cases of insomnia which proved to be of the very gravest import.
Really?
Insomnia, for instance, which was due to some organic disease of intracerebral circulation, that change in the arterial walls, which we call atheroma.
Oh.
Your cerebral arteries, madam, that is, the arteries that feed the brain, it is possible, maybe as hard and as brittle as pipe stems.
Pipe stems.
A common comparison.
Oh, good heavens. Would smoking bring that on? I do smoke a little, you know.
We may have to take that into account. Then again, insomnia may come from a constant sapping of the gray matter of the brain by nerves which are diseased.
Oh, how dreadful. Oh, can you explain that, doctor?
But of course. Try and picture to yourself a sort of crab, or a kind of octopus, or a very large spider, which nibbles at you and sucks at you, and little by little drains away the whole of the inside of your head.
Oh, how terrible. Oh, that's what the matter. Oh, I knew it. Oh, doctor, I'd rather die at once. Oh, I'd rather you killed me. Oh, I'm going to faint. The pain's coming on. Oh, hadn't you better give me a little morphia? I can't face it. I simply can't face it. I'd sooner be told straight out. I must know. Is it absolutely fatal?
No.
Can it be cured?
In time.
You're not deceiving me. I'd rather know the worst. I'll be brave.
If you're ready to go through with the treatment, madam, steadily and patiently, but I warn you, it's going to cost a lot of money.
Oh, anything. If only you will try to cure me.
Madam, I promise you, rushed off my feet as I am, I will try. Yes, it was hard work those first 3 months. Almost more patients than I could cope with. Patients coming in to consult me from miles around. The Hotel Semmeries could scarcely find room to accommodate them until I had time to see them. It was converted, at my suggestion, into a sort of sanatorium where I could give them proper attention in the privacy of their own rooms. Madame Remy, the manageress, was hard put to it, poor soul. She had to take on a vastly increased staff to attend to them properly. Indeed, when Dr. Parpolet returned to the town at the end of the first 3 months to claim his first quarterly payment of me, he could scarcely find accommodation.
Good morning, sir. Can I do anything for you?
Thank you, nurse. I want Madame Remy. This is still the Saint-Maurice Hotel.
Yes, but may I ask what you want to see Madame Remy for?
I want her to show me to my room.
You're one of the patients that are expected.
Patients? No, I'm not a patient. I'm a doctor.
Oh, the new assistant. Well, that's a good thing.
Well, surely you know me.
I'm sorry, no. We get so many.
I'm Dr. Parpolet. I was the doctor here up to 3 months ago. Oh, you don't belong here.
Well, certainly I belong here. But I never heard of any doctor but Dr. Canuck. If you'd excuse me, Madame Remy will come in a moment, I'm sure. I must finish sterilizing my pillowcases. Oh, here she is. Someone to see you, madam.
Why, Dr. Parpolet, you've not come to stay with me.
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact. How are things at the hotel?
Things are quite well, thank you. I've no rooms free.
It's not the fair today. Why are you so full? Who are all these people?
Patients taking treatment.
But what do they stop here for?
There's nowhere else to stop. But I'm sure they've nothing to complain of. Though it'll be much better when the new wing's built. But they're very well looked after. And as to the hygiene, oh, very, very strict.
But I don't understand. Where do they all come from?
All over the place. Everyone's heard of Dr. Canuck, and they all want to consult him.
Huh?
They don't always know what's wrong with them, but they all know there's something. And it's lucky for them Dr. Canuck's here to advise them.
Oh? Why?
The way they were going on and never giving a thought to it, eating things and drinking things and doing everything they shouldn't.
Dr. Canuck here yet? Why, Dr. Parpolet. I thought it was a ghost. Well, you are a stranger. How long is it since you left?
3 months, that's all, Monsieur Mousquet. Madame Mousquet is well, I hope?
Oh, much better.
Why? Was something the matter with her?
You don't remember? Oh, no, of course you wouldn't. The headache she was always complaining of. Well, she doesn't get them any longer. One now and again, of course, from overwork. Oh, things are terribly busy at the shop these days. Just can't keep pace with the prescriptions. As for poor Dr. Canuck, still, as she says, it does you good to know you're benefiting your fellow creatures. Ah, here he is. Good morning, Doctor.
Ah, good morning, Mousquet. Why, Dr. Parpolet, I was just thinking about you. Have you had a good journey? We've got some business together, haven't we? That first installment.
Oh, you'd like to be alone, gentlemen. I'll be a number 15.
You know, Dr. Canuck, I'm frankly amazed, quite amazed.
You are, eh? I keep very careful records. Shall I show you one or two of them, just for your own eye? You won't have forgotten our talk of 3 months ago, eh? Now then, first, patient seen. Curve showing weekly total, leaving out those that I see free on Mondays. Mid-October, 37. End of October, 90. Huh? End of November, 128. End of December, well, that's not added up yet, but it'll be over 150. Now then, here's regular treatments. End of November, 121. End of December, that'll be about 250.
You're making fun of me.
But what is there extraordinary in that? We have 2,853 households in the district, and there are 1,502 incomes of over 12,000 francs.
But how do you know that?
Never mind, that took some doing. I spent all October on it.
I see, I see.
Here in this town live some hundreds of people, a featureless, meaningless mass of humanity. What is my task? To rescue and resolve each one of them into a scientific individuality, into a medical existence of his own. I put a man to bed. I watch. I wait. Something will come of it.
You can't put a whole town to bed.
Why not? That remains to be seen. I believe I'm the only man among you that would put a whole town to bed and keep it in bed until I found out what was really the matter with it. Look at this valley below us. Do you see? The first time I stood at this window looking out, the morning after I came here, I wasn't overconfident, I can tell you. It didn't seem to make much odds whether I stood here or not. The whole place turned its back on me. But now, like an organist at his keyboard, I pull a stop, I touch a note, and from far off, the sounds respond. In 250 of those houses, we can't see them all for the distance of the trees, there are 250 rooms, and in each one of them at this very moment, somebody is testifying to the might of medical science. Upon 250 beds, those prostrate forms bear witness to life's meaning, and through me are made one with the great cause I serve.
My dear friend, my colleague, I have something to suggest to you.
What?
A little country town's no use to a man like you. You need a city to work in. Let me hand over to you my practice in Lyon, my new one, and let me come back to practice here.
Oh, no, no, no. I hardly think that would be a good idea, or acceptable to Saint-Maurice. To Madame Remy at this hotel, for instance, or to Monsieur Mousquet, the chemist, for instance. No, I hardly think this is the place for you now. Stay for a day or two, by all means. I really think you ought to take a day or two's rest.
You're not serious, are you? The way you said that, if I didn't know the ropes myself, your manner, the way you look at me, as if you saw right inside one. Oh, very well done indeed.
It is interesting, for really, you know, I do it quite unconsciously. The moment I set eyes on a man, I begin to diagnose his case, whether I mean to or not.
Forgive me, I don't want to make too much of it, but I've a reason for asking. When you say that I need a day or two's rest, were you in fun or were you... because it does fit in with something that's been a little on my mind lately. I've been noticing one or two trifling things about myself, which have, well, I won't say worried me, but... So that just for the interest of it, I'd like to know whether my own observations fit in, so to speak, with this automatic diagnosis of yours.
My dear sir, for the moment, we will let that be. I must begin my rounds, but you'll lunch with me, please. And as to the state of your health and whatever may need to be done about it, we can go into that in my consulting room this afternoon at our leisure.
This is Ralph Richardson again. This week, in our adaptation of Jules Romain's play, Dr. Canock...